Welcome to Cocktails and Classics. I'm Dylan. Joining me is Ben. It's another dad chat. And this week, I'm taking a look at Whiplash, the 2014 indie drama music film. To kick things off and get everybody in the right mood, we're going to go to this week's cocktail, The South Side. So the reason we chose The South Side is because it is a jazz-era cocktail, and Whiplash being a movie about jazz band. I don't think they drink anything alcoholic besides, like, the party that he passes in the hallway, so...
I don't know that Miles Teller's character drinks. After things transpire in the movie, and they meet at the jazz club, I believe J.K. Simmons is drinking something.
Hmm. That's true. I didn't think about that scene.
But you don't know what it is, so there's really no way we could have just done that as a cocktail. I'm assuming it's probably not even a cocktail. It's just straight liquor, I would assume. Yeah. Seems like the type of dude that doesn't mix.
The recipe for the South Side can be traced back to at least 1916 when it appeared in Hugh Insulin's book, Recipes for Mixed Drinks, as the South Side Fizz. His version called for gin, lemon, and lime juices, sugar, mint, and club soda. Loose the bubbles and cull out one of the citrus fruits, and you get the South Side that we know today. To make a South Side, you need a handful of mint leaves, or five, an ounce of lemon juice, 2 ounces of gin, an ounce of simple syrup, and then you're going to muddle that mint, shake it all up, pour it out. If you ever have citrus in a drink, you shake. Rule of thumb, just so you know. I like this. I don't think we've done gin in a while, but like, some good gin drink. I don't know what it... Growing up, like, when we were young, you'd never go for gin. Now I'm like, a good gin drink with a little lemon. Like a Tom Collins. This.
Tom Collins, delicious. This, very good. So this is mine. It's a little bit darker, as you can see. But there's a reason. I don't have mint leaves. My mint plant died last year. Due to my travel schedule and no one at home taking care of my mint plant. didn't regrow this year, but I did get a mint-flavored simple syrup.
Okay.
So it's like a mint julep syrup, but realistically, reading the ingredients, it's like sugar, water, mint flavoring. That's pretty much it. Given to me by Forrest, who's one of our listeners, which made me think... We don't have a nickname for our listener base.
I mean, our Twitter thing was called Cock Class for a while.
So my wife suggested we just call our listeners cocks. Like, that's a little harsh. She said, or just call them friends and family. And I was like, damn, that hurts.
Damn, she's on a roast out here?
Yeah, what? I know.
Calm down, Allison.
Fucking Don Rickles over here just cutting deep. Yeah, that's what I wanted to bring up. We need to figure that out at some point. All the great pods have them.
If you want to make yourself a Southside, check out the show notes below. Use the Casker links to get yourself some gin delivered directly to your door. Let us know what you think at Cocktails and Classics Pod. Message us over there. Let us know what you thought. Send us a picture. And you can watch Whiplash on Amazon Prime Video as a recording, because we're going to spoil it if you haven't seen it. Whiplash is a 2014 drama music film, currently sits at an 8.5 out of 10 on IMDb, making it the number 41 top-ranked movie on the IMDb Top 250. It is also number 27 on Letterboxd Top 250. Written and directed by Damien Chazelle. Whiplash stars Miles Teller, J.K. Simmons, Melissa Benoist, Paul Reiser as his dad. It is the story of a promising young drummer enrolls at a cutthroat music conservatory where his dreams of greatness are mentored by an instructor who will stop at nothing to realize a student's potential. The original thing they did, because they couldn't secure funding, is they made just the J.K. Simmons scene with Johnny Simmons, who we watched Scott Pilgrim on the podcast, but he plays young Neil. The, like, friend in their friend group who doesn't play an instrument. He played Miles Teller's part originally. And it's just the, like, first scene where he goes into the class and he, like, throws the cymbal at his head and everything. Or the chair at his head. And then they went to, I think they went to Sundance. And won, like, best short film. Yeah, one best short film as like a grand jury prize at Sundance, and then ended up getting funding for Whiplash, the movie, and then they made it in like 14 days or something, and he ended up, it was like between Johnny Simmons and Miles Teller, and he ended up going with Miles Teller because he was a bigger name at the time, and he was like originally a drummer, but not like jazz drummer, but like he had experienced drumming. I had seen this film. Ben, you had not?
No, I hadn't. Yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. Obviously, I very much remembered the whole, like, was it rushing or dragging? Like, which one? Like, I remember that being a thing that was all over the place. So I knew that part of it. I knew almost nothing else going into this. So, yeah, I was really, like, kept sitting there wondering, like, where are they going to go with this? Where are they going to go? Oh, this is where they're going to go. Okay, cool, cool, cool. So, Dylan, have you ever seen Oz, the HBO series from, like, the late 90s, early 2000s?
No. I think I know of it, but I've never seen it.
So it's about like a prison. Like, it's really kind of a dark show about a prison. But J.K. Simmons is in it. He plays basically a skinhead. But his mannerisms are very similar to his character in this movie, where he just seems very calm, but also, like, insane and dangerous.
Yeah, like at any moment he could kind of snap.
Yeah, even when he's being super nice, you're just still, like, terrified of him. So that first scene when he's asking him, like, oh, are your parents musicians? And I'm like, that whole scene, I'm like, I was already on edge, like, because he gives that impression that he could just, on a switch, lose it. So it was just one of those things where that was one of my big takeaways, was just how impressive J.K. Simmons is as an actor. He's so good. Insanely talented.
I think he was one of the Oscar nominations, I think.
Oh, Simmons? He deserved it.
So it was nominated for Best Motion Picture of the Year, Best Performance by an Actor in a Supporting Role, J.K. Simmons, which they won, Best Writing Adapted Screenplay, which they were nominated for, Best Achievement in Film Editing, which they won, and then Best Achievement in Sound Mixing, which they won. So two technical awards and then J.K. Simmons.
Also, shout out Grosse Pointe, Michigan. Let's go.
Yeah, I remember, like, after this came out, he, like, went to Tigers games a couple times or something, like, on his, like, publicity tour and stuff.
Yeah, he did the first, I think at the opening day, he threw out, like, a first pitch on opening day, and then was in the booth, like, for most of the game, like, calling the game. No, I thought he was, like I said, he's just one of those, his character was just one of those that you were terrified from almost the instant he's there. Even when he's nice, you're still just like, this guy's gonna lose his shit at any minute. I thought Miles Teller, I think I think a lot of the times I don't think his acting needed to be very good, but the scenes where, like, he gets, like, when he's running late and he shows up and he's like, no, he's not taking, like, that's mine.
Yeah.
You know, all of that, when he really kind of showed that part of the emotion, I thought was his best acting in the movie.
Fuck off, Johnny Utah. Flip my pages, bitch.
Yeah. Like I said, I was very, very impressed. I was shocked at I knew something had to happen. There was no way he was just going to go, you know. So we're going to get into the spoiler part where he gets hit by the semi-truck when he's driving back after getting his sticks that he left at the rental car dealership.
Like Enterprise, yeah.
I knew something had to happen. There's no way they're going to show him rushing to go get his drumsticks and then he's just going to magically get back. So, yeah, I knew something was going to go on. Something was going to happen. I was just wondering where they were going to go after that point, because then he just gets up and runs to go play. And I'm like, oh, okay. Is this going to be the point where now he's this super successful, you know? Like I said, I knew nothing about this movie. So to me, I was like, oh, is this going to get into him being like now a professional drummer? Like, is this just going to follow, like, his whole career? I had no idea. And then when everything happens and he gets cut from the program, it's like, oh, okay. But the giant FU of the come play in the band at this showcase.
Oh, my God. And then, like, you're like, oh, it's all good.
Yeah, like, oh, cool. Like he, and then he's like, I know it was you. I'm like, oh, no, what's going to happen?
And doesn't give him the sheet music.
And then they start playing other shit. Oh, God. I was like, oh, this is cringy. This is cringy. I can't take it.
Dude, even just the part after he gets into the accident and, like, he's trying to play but literally can't grip the stick because his hand's so fucked up. I'm, like, physically cringing. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, just give up for a second. Like, I understand your dream is to be the best, but, like...
A lot of those scenes where they just start showing his hands bleeding, I was just like, all right, can we not? Can we do something else here?
Like, you would never... I don't think you would ever get to that point where your hand is, like, bleeding from drumming. I feel like you're not doing something right, if that's...
I guess my thing is you're drumming like that almost daily, right?
Yeah, like you would build a callus.
At what point, right? Do you build a callus? Thank you, right? This isn't just me. I will say the shots of the drum playing where it kind of cuts to like the beneath shots, the overheads, some of the side. Those shots were really cool. I thought that was really well done because to make a movie about playing an instrument where realistically, I mean, that is... There's the drama between Fletcher and Neiman and, you know, Nicole, Melissa Benoist's character, which I feel like there was more to that character that got cut.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot more to that storyline that just was cut out because it was like they went on a date and then next time you really hear about her, he's breaking up with her. And then you don't hear about her again until the end of the movie where he tries to get back with her and she's like, I have a boyfriend. And it's just like, was this necessary to really get into? But I feel like there was a lot more of, like, them going out. And, like, maybe that was the reason, you know, he could do the double time before, but now he couldn't do it because he hasn't been practicing. Like, makes sense.
I think something that this movie does so well, and, I mean, this is kind of going to get away a little bit from what you were saying and I come back. But, like, so When I had seen this movie a long time ago, probably when it came out, I think, like 2014, 2015, whatever, and I haven't seen it since. So rewatching it, I was like, damn, forgot how good this movie is. And I think this movie, for me, goes in the same category of, like, Uncut Gems and, like Shiva Baby, or what you were saying about this, like, J.K. Simmons' character could, like, blow up any time. It's like that scene in Boogie Nights with Sister Christian and the guy's, like, you're just waiting for something to happen. Like, it's like the entire movie is, like, that scene where you're so uncomfortable, so tense. What's going to happen? And I think it does a great job of melding jazz music, which I think is a medium of music that is already kind of tense, especially the type of jazz that they play. Like, it's, like, very, like, moving, very, like, tight, quick music to me. And so, like, with some of those pieces in the film, plus, like, what's actually happening, they crank it all to 11, and you're super just tense the whole time. And the only moments you really get to breathe are those scenes with Nicole and Andrew, like, on their date, or, like, when he's asking her out, or, like, you know, he's not necessarily breathing in those scenes because he kind of has this, like, awkward anxiety almost to where I feel like he's not breathing, but like we're like, oh God, all right, he's away from Fletcher for a second, like he's not dying playing drums, like, oh, we're good. And then he goes back and like the last one where he's like, oh no, I think we need to break up, I have to alienate myself, can't have any friends because I want to be the best jazz drummer there ever was. Oh my God, come on, dude, like this was like a good thing. These were the scenes where we were like breathing, and then now it's like you fucked that all up and we're back to like tension. That's my thought process, is like those scenes are there for you to breathe for 2 seconds and like see him outside of, he's not just like this like psychopath almost. He's so dedicated to this thing, and like that's all he can think about. He's like, I can't have relationships. Like, argues with those. I don't know if they're family or just family friends, but the two kids playing football.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be his uncle and aunt and two cousins.
Yeah, he's like, you guys suck. Like, I'm gonna be the best drummer there ever was, or whatever. And his dad's like, does this help you at all even get to Lincoln Center? No. Okay, and then shut up. And that's what the center of this movie, all this movie, is. It's kind of a character study about, and really a commentary on the strides that mentors and like teachers will go to bring greatness out of someone. Is this ethical? Is this healthy? Not really. I mean, because you see, I forget the character's name, but like the one kid that's driven to like kill himself because he could never reach the like level that Fletcher wanted him to. And then even like after that happens, Fletcher's still a fuck. And he's like, I would never apologize for like anything. I was there to push people beyond what's expected of them. And I believe that's an absolute necessity. The two worst words in the English dictionary are good job. You're not a good person. And you've never, like, you know, yeah. He even says himself, he's like, I've never gotten my Charlie Bird because like never, no one's ever reached that potential or whatever. And I'm like, I wonder why.
Yeah. But I've tried.
Yeah, no but matter how hard I push them, they never reached Charlie Bird status. And it's like, yeah, because that's how you get people to quit. It's because you push them too far.
The scenes with Nicole, I get what you're saying, is those being good, like, breathing points. Counterpoint, I think you get more out of the relationship with between Andrew and his dad than you do any of the stuff with Nicole. I think you could use that as a way to kind of give breath. And at the same time, you kind of could, you could have taken that mentor-mentee comparative father-son relationship with Andrew seeing Fletcher as the father figure and kind of using that time to kind of maybe play into that more. I don't know. It, like I said, to me it was just like Nicole was in the movie for 5 minutes and it just felt like by the time they broke up, there was nothing for you to really be that emotionally attached that by the time he breaks up with her, I'm like, how long have you guys actually been dating at this point? Like,
yeah, there's no real like time like to tell what's going on in the movie.
Maybe a couple weeks. We see you go on one date. It's super awkward.
Yeah, where he's like, oh, where do you go to school? Fordham. Why? I don't know. Like, that's just what I chose. And, like, what are you studying? I haven't chosen a major yet. And that's, like, this, like, awkward conversation of, like, well, you have no drive and purpose in your life. And then when he breaks up, you know, that's, like, her big thing is, like, oh, you think I'm hindering you because I don't know what I want to do with my life? Like,
yeah, it just seemed like there was not enough. There was not enough to make that emotional connection by the time that scene happened. Like I said, it could be something where that was cut down or gotten rid of for time. I don't know. But personally, that was one, like, gripe I had. Like, either commit to that kind of side story or part of the story or don't. But, like, don't just leave a grand total of a couple minutes in.
So I agree with you on Miles Teller. Like, I think he's good in this movie, but I don't think he has to, like, he's not the one that has to, like, blow you away. There are the scenes where I think he does really, like, kind of steal the scene. And those are more so the scenes, like, the performance scenes, which I read wasn't totally him. Most of it is him, but there are body doubles at some points. But I think, really, the person who's going to steal the show and does ultimately carry the whole movie is Fletcher. And it's like these actions that he takes, once again, to pull out something from Andrew, whether that's in a positive or negative way. The scene you talked about earlier where he's like, oh, like, what does your parents do? Like, oh, he's a writer? What's he written? Oh, nothing. Okay, what's your mom do? Oh, well, she's not really in the picture. And then immediately after that, and probably what I would say is one of the most iconic scenes of like this century, at least the last 20 years, the rushing and dragging scene. He then goes and be like, oh, like, you're just a failure, like, your dad and mommy ran out on your dad and all this, and he, like, uses all this information he literally just got, like, 15 minutes earlier against you to, piss you off and break you down. And then he tells that story about Charlie Bird only became Charlie Bird once the guy threw the simple at his head, throws the chair at him. Oh, like, we're gonna try this new song, Caravan. Oh, here's, Conley or whatever, Johnny Utah, like, I gave him the sheets this morning, but you have from now until 7 to practice or whatever. And then, like, literally makes them go from, what was it, like, 7 or 9 p.m.? 9 p.m. to, like, 2 a.m. or some shit?
Yeah, but even then, he has the redheaded guy has the sheet music from the morning. He says, we're gonna practice this. You've got, like, we're gonna take however long, and then... Are you talking about the thing where they're like, yeah, they finish their 9 a.m. and they're like, we have practiced tonight, 9 p.m. sharp, know the music or whatever?
Yeah, and the redhead kids had it for like a couple hours at least before.
Yeah, but he doesn't even send... He immediately has Andrew then sit down and play against the other kid. Like, he doesn't even have any time. He's literally handed the music and is like, hey, spot, play this. But I mean, even then, Fletcher admits, he's like, oh, he was nothing more than a motivational tool.
Yeah, at the end. It's not Andrew's fault not seeing it. But, like, you know, as the outside looking in, you're like, he's literally, like, he gave this dude the shit hours ago and is now making you play against that guy for the part. Like, he's using you and this guy at the same time to, like, pit against each other. And that, I mean, that can be healthy. Competition and, like, rivalry can be healthy. But when you give one person the advantage and then go against, like, especially in something like this where you have to study the sheet music and know the tempo and know the notes, it's just so, like, disgusting.
Well, that was, like, the stuff between Andrew and the guy who's in the first chair right away.
You only got a shot because you lost the fucking folder or whatever. And you're like, oh, my God, what the... Like, it was an accident. I wonder what actually happened to the folder. I wonder if somebody stole the folder, like, what the deal was. Because he literally turned around for 2 seconds. So I was like, what happened, you know?
My thought is that, yeah, it was supposed to be, like, one of the other bands that was competing stole it. But that person was a freaking ninja. Because he literally set it down, grabbed the can, and then turned around and it was gone.
I fucking love jazz music, so this movie just, you know, fuels that fire. I do listen to the soundtrack. Granted, you know, I hadn't seen the movie for at least 10 years, or 9 or whatever it is, but, like, I listen to the soundtrack all the time. I fucking love, like, Whiplash and Caravan. I those are on, like, playlists for me. The other thing is, I found it super interesting when the dad and Andrew go to the movies that they put the raisinettes in the popcorn. So
that's a thing.
Really? I know, like, M&M's in popcorn is a thing, but
no, raisinettes in popcorn is a thing. I'm gonna say it. I don't do it, but I've definitely heard of it.
Yeah, it seems kind of gross, and even Andrew is like, I don't like raisinettes. Like, he's like, well, why did we put them in there?
I just eat around.
Yeah. I want to spend a decent chunk here talking about the last 15 to 20 minutes of the film, because I feel like that last scene where Andrew joins the, like, JVC performance shows up, you're like, oh, Fletcher's, like, a kind of a cool guy now. Like, he invited Andrew to come just perform because he needed a drummer. Like, he doesn't give, like, a whole spiel like he does for some of the other performances. He's literally just like, let's go have fun. Like, if you kill it, like, this is a good way. You can be on Blue Note Records. You can, like, get in the Lincoln Center. Like, these people are important, so, like, don't screw it up, you know? We go on stage and find out Fletcher, all of this is literally just to fuck over Andrew, because he knows that it's Andrew was the one who, like, told about all the stuff. So Andrew walks off the stage, his dad is there, they have a moment, then Andrew walks back out, and you're like, oh, okay, what's gonna happen? It's this tension that we've had the whole film is cranked to 11 while Andrew is, like, just getting, like, utmost cringe moment, probably, where he doesn't know what he's doing. He's, like, playing off beat because he doesn't have the sheet music for the thing they're playing. all of this. But then when he goes back out there and starts Caravan for like 10 minutes or whatever the song is, it's a long musical number, but like you live in that entire moment, both of those, the cringy and then like the amazing performance of Caravan. And it is just like, this is what the whole movie was for this scene here. Because you get just the pure playing. You get something that like Damien does later in La La Land, which is these like whip pans back and forth on the reactions of like while Andrew's playing, it whip pans over to J.K. Simmons' character. And he like, you see his reaction, we whip back. But just the whole thing is like, oh, it's the sound design, just so good, so tense. And like ultimately we get to all of this, the entire movie, all the shit that happened to just this small nod at the very end of approval, the like good job that Fletcher says is like the worst thing in the world that Andrew earns after all of this. And like that was all of it. It was all worth for that little like extreme close up of Fletcher's face and just a little no.
You mean the close up where they don't even show his like the bottom part of his face, but you can just kind of see that he's maybe smiling?
Yeah. And he just kind of like little small head nod basically. Like it's not even, you don't even see him say good job. It's literally kind of like a motion of acknowledgement.
Which again, props to J.K. Simmons for that scene, because you kind of see him at the beginning of the like, I know it was you, you little shit, fuck you. And then he's kind of getting his revenge or whatever. And then you see when Andrew decides like, all right, fuck you. We're going to go into this. And he starts playing and he tells the bass player like, it's Caravan, I'll count you in. And then he does it and you see he starts off super pissed and he's like, what are you doing? You know, and then once he gets into the actual solo, you see where he's just like, he's mad. And he's like, oh, this is it. More. And then he's actually like into the directing of it. Yeah. Again, to the point where it ends and he's just like, yes, this is what I wanted. Transition that he is able to show in the limited reaction shots you get of him is just so good. That scene in particular when they do the cuts and the camera angles of, you know, you've got like from below looking up and you're just seeing him play, the overhead shot, the different shots that they use
that
in the scene of his solo is so fucking
good. I wonder how they should, like, did they have multiple cameras or did they shoot that multiple times? Because like, it's pretty nuts because there's the overhead, there's the under, there's like literally just on like the cymbals. There's like, you know, you get some of J.K. Simmons, you get some of Miles Teller, you get some of the other bands. Like, oh, this is like, it's kind of a sexy movie for like band instruments because like any of the scenes, like in the music room, like the practice room where they're like, you know, a lot of nice little like light reflections off of the brass and stuff, setting up like some of the instruments and tuning. I mean, there's also some very unsexy parts, like when the dude's like cleaning out the fucking reed and like spit valve and stuff. And you're like, okay, that's a little gross, but it is very like in the moment when they're playing the music and it's like just pure action and tension and it like looks so good. And you're like, dude, this is, yes, this is the sexy movie that jazz needs. This is gonna bring it back.
This is the movie that band nerds needed.
It wasn't American Pie Band Camp, it was Whiplash.
Oh god. No, I mean, yeah, this movie definitely made jazz and swing seem cool even in a modern time. It wasn't one of those things where, like, yeah, jazz music's cool if you're in the 1920s. But, yeah, it was a thing where it was like, oh, no, this is actually, like, a cool thing to see. And it's cool to play instruments. is a message I feel like that could be used more. I don't know, I definitely noticed, like, my time in school, the participation in band just declined and declined and declined. It became the nerd thing. It's like, I mean, it's music. Playing music is cool. Everyone loves fucking music. And let me tell you, most of the people that you listen to know how to play at least some sort of instrument that you probably would learn how to play in band.
I just saw that, I guess, when Miles tackles Fletcher at one point, J.K. Simmons suffered 2 broken ribs. And they still had like a couple more days filming to go, and he just continued on.
Yeah, I just saw this thing again. So Melissa Benoist has less than 10 minutes of screen time in this movie. That's absolutely bonkers.
Also, J.K. Simmons, some of his lines are just outlandish in this film. Like, some of the quotes he says, I was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. J.K. Simmons is one of those actors that can say the most ridiculous things, like the, I'm going to, what does he say?
I'm gonna fuck you like a pig or something like that.
Yeah, which I think, it sounds like he was gonna say, I'll gut you like a pig, but he then says, I'll fuck you like a pig.
I think they changed it. I think originally in the short film, it does say, I'll gut you like a pig, and then they switched it to...
Okay, that checks out. But he's one of those people that can say the most ridiculous shit, but because he's such an intense actor, it doesn't come across as, like, cheesy or unbelievable.
Yeah, I see the one where he's like, this is not your boyfriend's dick, don't go really. I'm like, oh my god, like, come on, dude.
Yeah, I will say, the F-bomb, the gay slur.
That, a lot of use of the R word.
A lot of slurs, which is weird for being 2014 that they did this much, but was kind of shocked at that.
It does, and I just think it's the time. I think, like, I'm sure some people doesn't bother them. Us, you know, whenever we watch any movies like this or, like, you know, any, like, mid-2000s comedies, and you just hear some of that language, and it just, like, nails on a chalkboard, like, you, like, flicks a switch, and you're just like, oh god, what, like, it could have been, you could have avoided this line, you know, like, it's sad, but, you know, it just, like, I don't know, language evolves, people evolve, it does kind of, like, grate you a certain way, and it's like, I'm not gonna like slight the movie for that. We're a little above that, but it, I mean, his character is a fucking dick, just, so, like, you know,
that's the other thing where it doesn't bother me as much, because I believe that he would be someone that would do that. You know what I mean? He comes across as someone that would be that type of person.
Well, Ben, you had not seen this film. I had.
I was a goob.
You'll be the goob. You'll go first, and then I'm going to give a nostalgia rating and an updated rating. Ben, let me hear it. What did you think of Whiplash?
This movie is good.
Wow. Resounding.
No, this movie's... this movie, like I said, I didn't know what to expect. That being said, I'm kind of glad I didn't go into it with expectations, because this movie's super good, and I would not have wanted to have, like, the expectation of it being really good, in which case, if it wouldn't have met it, I don't think it would have mattered. I think this movie probably would have exceeded any sort of expectation that someone telling me it was good would have brought it to. This movie makes me really sad that J.K. Simmons got to be a part of the DC Comics universe for all of, like, 10 minutes. Real hurt by that, because I think he's just a phenomenal actor. I don't think I've ever seen him in a role that I've walked away being like, he wasn't very good. Even, like, the comedic, you know, J. Jonah Jameson from the Spider-Man movies of the 2000s, and even the new ones that they're, you know, the new MCU versions too. He's just so good. He well deserved that Oscar. It was kind of sad Melissa Benoist was only in 10 minutes of this movie. Big Melissa Benoist fan over here. I think Miles Teller is a very good actor. I don't think if someone were to say, what's the movie Miles Teller acted the best in? I don't know that this would be the one that I'd be like, this is it. This is the one that he's the best in. This might be the best movie he's been in. But I think he was, I don't know. I don't want to say like he was perfectly okay, because that makes it sound like a downplay. He was good. He didn't need to be anything more than what he was. That's how I'll put it. I think he did a good job, but he didn't need to be the scene stealer, and he didn't need to be the as much as he was the star, he didn't need to act like the star of the movie. Rating this is really hard. I think I might go with an 8 on a rewatch later on. That might even get bumped up. I could imagine probably rewatching it and it catching some things I might not have noticed. That it might jump up to maybe like a 9, but that said, I did have minorish complaints. But overall, if you're like me and you haven't seen this movie, it is more than worth the watch. Go watch it. ASAP, enjoy it. If you've watched it and haven't seen it in a while, I'm sure Dylan will probably recommend that you go give it a rewatch ASAP.
So yeah, I watched this film when it came out. I hadn't watched it since. When I first watched it, you know, 2014 Dylan gave it a 10 out of 10 on IMDb. And 2023 Dylan's about to give it a 10 out of 10 on this podcast right now. This movie is, to me, perfect in every aspect. I know there are things you can gripe, like, oh, weird. Why has Andrew never played with this band before this big performance at the, you know, the JVC performance? It's weird that he's never played with them. Maybe he did, and maybe J.K. Simmons was just like, oh, here we go, here's some new No Sheep music, you know. But, you know, I've kind of already said most of it, but, like, it's beautifully shot. A lot of it's top lit, which is always very pleasing. Love the jazz music. Big jazz fan. J.K. Simmons kills it. Miles Teller does a great job. But he, like Ben said, he doesn't have to do an amazing job. Like, J.K. Simmons is carrying most of this movie. Andrew's in every scene of this film, but J.K. Simmons steals every scene that he's in. When he is on screen, you are like tight butthole, full clench, like, what is going to happen? The tension is palpable. What is he going to do? Like, he's so unpredictable, so, like, out of control. Like, what is he going to do? And I think, as someone who's, you know, done sports, done arts, those sort of things, I think the character of Fletcher is so interesting, because you've seen these people who are, like, they're going to throw this language at you. They're going to try and push you to become something that you may never be able to actually reach. Like, not everyone's going to be able to be the next Charlie Bird or the next, you know, like, sometimes you just have to sit back and be like, I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to do my best. And my best is me, you know, like, I think that like controlling, manipulative, like power hungry, like teacher mentor concept is a very interesting thing that I don't think has been really looked at too much in the sense of like a film. I love this one. I wish I would have watched it sooner again. And if you haven't seen this film in a while, please watch it again. I am definitely going to watch this one more often now. Ben, I would like to do a little segment here at the end of the podcast, though. I've been doing the weekend watch list over on our Instagram of like recommendations that something you've seen, watched, listened to, heard, played, you know, whatever. Recommend it to the listeners, our Instagram viewers. Ben, what is something you've enjoyed lately that you would like to recommend?
I haven't watched a lot movie-wise between work travel or... Well, work travel is actually the time I can watch movies on a plane. more so, we've been going to the lake and, you know, when not with work, trying to enjoy family stuff. But new season of Always Sunny dropped. I think the last...
Oh, really?
Or the first two episodes of the season came out. They aired yesterday, and they are already on Hulu. So I watched those. Pretty good. I enjoyed it. Always a fan of Sunny. Also, if you're a fan of that show... I'll advertise for free, like they're going to ever find out or give a shit that we support their podcast. It's Always Sunny podcast is really good, and they were kind of doing a lot throughout the writing and filming. Well, they were kind of took a break during some of the filming of the actual show, but during kind of the writing process of the show, they were doing the podcast and that. And I think they kind of said they felt rejuvenated on it with this season. I know they had a couple of the writers that had been gone came back for a couple episodes, which makes sense now knowing what those guys Martin and Roselle, what they're doing. One of them is now a writer slash producer on Rick and Morty. And the other one works for Dave on FX, so that makes sense. But I know they came back for a couple episodes, so they kind of said that I think they're up until season 20, and I think this is 16 or 17, so I think they've got a couple more years if they want to keep going. I think it's one of those things where it'll end up going to the point where they take it season by season and decide if they want to do another one or not. But yeah, that's coming up. Two Bears, One Cave, Bad Friends.
Conan? I feel like you recommend Conan all the time.
Yep. Conan, Smartless. All good ones get me through the workday. I will say, though I haven't been able to get the chance to, there's quite a few movies out right now that seem like movies that I'd like to go see. There's a lot that are coming out. If I can just say, if you've got the time and it's something you want to do, go see the movie in theaters if you can. I mean, it just helps, one, the people that make the movie. Two, if it's the type of movie you enjoy, it helps those movies continue getting made.
Another movie I rewatched that I'd seen a long time ago is American Movie. It's a documentary. So it focuses mainly on this filmmaker, Mark Borchardt, who's like in Milwaukee. And it's like his mission and his dream to make movies. And so it spans over the course of a couple of years of his life as he tries to make a feature film that he started like 6 years ago, and he like runs out of money, and so he's like, I'm gonna go finish this short film that I started like 3 years ago. And so it's more of a character study about this guy, his friends, his family, because his family's like, oh well, he just needs to go get a job, like, you know, like he's just trying to make movies. His friends are like, oh, like, I love his passion and his like drive to make movies, like, you know, even if we don't have any money and we're still trying to do things, like, I'm going to help him out. And as someone who is, I hate the phrase filmmaker, but like, as somebody who loves movies, wants to make movies, like, it's my dream to shoot movies. The movie hits so hard, resonates so well. It's like, because it's so relatable of like, oh my God, like this guy, the dude is like going through all his bills and he's like, oh man, I owe 10,000 to this person, 1,000 of child support, 1,000 to the IRS, 1,000 of this. And the dude's like, I just need to keep getting money to like make my movie. And I just got a new MasterCard and all this. And you're just like, bro, like you're in debt. Like, what are you doing? And it, like, those are the things that frustrate me about the movie. Cause I'm like, all of his choices are so bad. But I resonate so much with his passion and like the drive and the dream to like make these movies. So it's like, if you've ever been an artist or you've ever like had a dream and passion, check out this documentary. I don't know really where you could watch it. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere. I got it on like Vudu for a couple bucks. You know, it's 1990s, so it's pretty crappy quality, but it's, as an artist, probably one of the best documentaries about the art, I feel like. And that's our weekend watch list, so check those out. And check out Whiplash on Amazon Prime as of recording. Share us with your friends and family. Leave a review wherever you're listening. It really helps us out. Check out show notes. Get yourself some gin. Hit up the Casker links. Make yourself a Southside cocktail. Check us out next time. And as always, watch responsibly.